While each one of us are standing, I'd like to read our scripture passage for the sermon. We have read it corporately. We shall sing it later. Please hear this now. The 134th Psalm. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord who stand in the house of the Lord by night. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Thus far the reading of God's word, and all of God's people said, Amen. Heavenly Father, we ask that you bore out our ears and enliven our limbs so that we may hear and obey, so that we may hear your voice through your word by your Holy Spirit and live according to your voice and word and spirit. We pray this in the strong name of Jesus, waiting upon you, and all of God's children said, Amen. You may be seated. Well, here we are, the final Psalm of Ascents, the 15th of 15 songs of degrees, or songs of steps, or songs of ascent, Psalms of Ascent. Started in 120, now ends with 134, the final Psalm of Ascent. I'd like us to focus, to have some emphasis today on a particular word, just one singular word in this psalm. That word is, it's a recurring word, three times in this psalm. That word is this, bless, bless. It's a highly charged word. It's loaded. It's carrying cargo. It's moving quite a bit of freight. If I was to use a different Hebrew word, there's a Hebrew word for glory, which also is the same Hebrew word for weight or heaviness. It's the word kavod. Kavod. I could say this is a weighty word. It's a glorious word. Blessing or bless is a weighty word. It's a kavod word. Here it is. We long for blessing to mark us and others whom we love, don't we? But just what is it? What is this word bless or blessing? It seems like it just flows off of our lips and we say it, bless you too, bless, bless, bless. Or around here in this part of the country, people say, well, bless your heart. What does that mean? I don't want to know what that means. What does the Bible, what does the Lord mean when he uses this word? A couple of different words for it throughout the Bible. Sounds like a church word, doesn't it? Sounds like a church word. Here we go. We prayerfully ask for blessings upon our marriages. We've had weddings right here. We pray for blessings upon the union. We pray for blessings to be upon our endeavors, our tasks, our travels, and our time. Lord, bless our time. We want to see blessings upon our plans, our purposes. May they be in line with yours, O Lord, and the people we love. Lord, bless those whom we love. We are, the scriptures say, to bless and curse not. We are to bless and curse not. We long for blessing to be present. We want our lives to be blessed, and we are in sin when we do not recognize the blessings that have already been given, that are upon us and all around us. We're in sin. We're a blessed people. And if you just, we're in sin. Children are to rise up and bless their mothers. Moms and dads pray for blessings to rest upon their children. Number of dads in this congregation will pray for blessings upon their children. At night when they're asleep, just walk into the room. Listen. Little sweet little, or the huff, and the dad walks in. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will bless my son or my daughter so that their ways will be in line with your ways, that they will love your word, never knowing a faithless day. And even now, Lord, if you desire them to be married, prepare their spouse someday down. Help my son or my daughter to honor you and to love you and to honor their mother. I trust you in this. And so dads have humbled themselves and I'm doing the best I can as a parent, and then, but Lord, unless the Lord builds the house, you labor in vain to build it. Pastors are to bless their flocks. Here we bless the children. Our Old Testament reading today. You obey the Lord, pursue the Lord, He will bless you in the city, in the country. He will bless your mixing bowls and your barns. He will bless your bodies and the fruit of your bodies. Wouldn't you like to have a blessed mixing bowl? Does the Lord care about mixing bowls? Yes. Yes. This morning I washed two, one about this big and one about this big. Lord, bless this mixing bowl. I will. Obey me. Follow me. Bless. Blessing. Okay, this final psalm of ascent is a psalm of bless and blessing. One writer said this, it doesn't take long to find the key word and the controlling thought in this psalm. Listen, bless the Lord bless you. Three times it's mentioned, verse 1, verse 2, verse 3. So we need to pause. What does this mean, to bless or to be blessed? If I was to stand up and say, the Lord bless you from Zion, what does that mean? Well, I'm going to help you with it. Some blessing basics. Blessing basics. Here we go. You want to understand it? Go Genesis, Psalms, Matthew. Okay? Genesis, Psalms, Matthew. I want to know what the Bible, I want to know what the Lord means when He speaks of blessing. Okay, let's look at what the Lord says when He speaks, when He uses the word bless or blessing, blessedness. In Genesis, the Lord's first words to His image bearers were words of blessing. The Lord blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish, the birds, over every living thing and those things which move on the earth. So God said, see, by the way, take a look. I've given you every herb that yields seed on the face of the earth. Enjoy rosemary. When you make bread, I blessed you with every herb of the field and every tree that fruit yields seed. And it's, by the way, it's for food. I'm going to give you food. And why do we say a blessing when we come to a meal? We're acknowledging the giver of every gift. So if you want to understand blessing, the first thing you need to understand, how does the Bible open? The Bible speaks to God's image bearers and says He blesses them. But there's a blessing within that. God's speaking. So many of us go, you know, have you ever met somebody that's kind of wandering around? By the way, Deuteronomy 28 speaks about people who reject the Lord. You know what it says? They're going to be like a blind person groping about at noonday. They're already blind, but the most brilliant light of the day is present, and so it's noontime, and they're groping about like blindness at noonday. There's something out here. It's warm. There's a warmer day. The very first part of blessing is that God communicates. God speaks to us. And then He provides. Take a look at the food that I have given you. By the way, when the Lord speaks, that means He's present. When the Lord communicates to us, He's present. And what happens if we go, you know what? I don't want to hear it. What are we saying to the Lord's blessings? Thank you, no. I don't want to listen. That's Genesis. Middle of your Bible, usually the Psalms. How does the first psalm open? Blessed is the man. Middle of the Bible opens with blessed is the man who does not walk or stand or sit with sinners. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. He's listening to the voice of the Lord. And then the new Genesis, the New Testament, the new beginning, the book of Matthew, what happens when Jesus starts to speak? In Matthew chapter 5, disciples gather around. Jesus is on a mountain and He sits down and He opens His mouth and teaches them, saying, it's called the Sermon on the Mount, first word, blessed are the poor in spirit. God's presence is a speaking presence, a communicating presence. It's a providing presence and it's a guiding presence. Okay, there's the blessing. When we are blessed, you know what's happening? We are experiencing in possession of or have received the Lord's favor. Because the blessing is the Lord's kindness and favor. What would happen if the Lord was silent? You're going, something's wrong. Speak, Lord. Shh. I'm not hearing anything. Something's wrong. The Lord in His kindness speaks. In His favor, He speaks and gives guidance. Live this way. And by the way, when a blessing is pronounced over you, it's an expression of the Lord's favor or pleasure being recognized as either already there or being requested. Lord, Your blessing is Your presence, Your favor, Your guidance. You have granted it to these people. Continue. Or grant it to these people. Here's an example. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. That's the Aaronic blessing from Numbers chapter 6. That's what the priests were to say to the people. Lord bless you and keep you. Good words. Dads, moms, start there. Start there. Say that to your children. Children, the Lord bless you and keep you. By the way, more simply, a blessing is not a curse. A blessing is not a curse. I'm not under the curse of God. All right, we come to Psalm 134, and what we have here is a greeting and a response. A greeting and a response. This is a greeting upon the ministers of the Lord. So look at Psalm 134. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. This is how I'm going to greet you. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary, in the dwelling place of God, and bless the Lord. That's the greeting. The people of God greet the ministers and say, bless the Lord. And they respond, the Lord who made heaven and earth, bless you from Zion. Zion being the place of His people. The Lord bless you among His people and on under heaven and on earth. The Lord bless you. It's a greeting from the people to the priests, to the ministers, and it's a response from the ministers to the people. Spurgeon. Love the way he phrased this. Listen to this. This psalm teaches us to pray for those who are continually ministering before the Lord. And it invites all ministers to pronounce benedictions upon their loving and prayerful people. Go for it. What's happened here? 15 psalms of ascent. The people of God have traveled from home to Jerusalem. They have met with the Lord and they have met with one another. Festival times. They've been singing along the way. These are the songs on their playlist for the road trip. They sing, they chant, they pray, they say. They call out. By the way, they've met with the Lord with one another. They've been blessed and they call out to the ministers. Behold, take note, bless the Lord. All of you servants of the Lord, those of you who are guarding the walls, those of you who are lighting the nighttime lamps, bless the Lord. May His favor rest upon you. But lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. The disciples have been blessed, so they speak this way. These are high, these are encouraging words. These are words which are fueled by having received a blessing from the Lord and His ministry. And how do you know it? You push that person and what comes back? You push a blessed person and blessing comes out. You push a gracious person and grace comes out. This is why we forgive one another, because of the way God in Christ has forgiven us. He's given us grace, so what do? It comes out. Somebody opens their mouth, what fills the heart? If the heart is filled with the nasty, it's nasty. If the heart's filled with grace, grace comes out. So they give a blessing to the ministers, and the ministers in turn bless the people. And you know what? That's a right response. That's just right. By the way, this leads to a question. I want to take a little side note, a little pause here. You saw this in the church-wide email. Blessing goes in which direction? To whom? Who blesses whom? Who does this? This is actually, in this psalm, this is a call for the ministers to bless the Lord. Did it ever strike you as odd? You're reading the Bible? Behold, bless the Lord. What? We are familiar, and I'm going to guess we are perhaps more comfortable with the Lord's blessing upon us. That makes sense. The Lord is the one from whom comes every good and perfect gift. I am needy. I can't bless. What are you talking? This must mean something else. What's the Hebrew say? What's the translations? Well, it says this, bless the Lord. That's what it says. From us to the Lord? That's curious. Now, the last verse seems to make sense because the ministers are saying this. And imagine the disciples are they're getting ready to start their journey home. That verse 3 makes sense, where the ministers are standing there, or those who are serving, the Levites, they stand there, and as the people are leaving, they say, the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, bless you out of Zion. And everybody's going, yes, that makes sense. That's the direction it ought to be. But somebody says, what do you mean? You're to bless the Lord? Here's the problem. People say, does the Lord really need it? Does the Lord really need your blessing? That's likely a misunderstanding of the whole issue. It's not a matter that the Lord needs your blessing. It's actually more that He deserves. We're giving Him His due. We're acknowledging that He is the one from whom comes every good and perfect gift, and we are reflecting that back. But the same thing happens with the glory of the Lord. We're supposed to glorify God and enjoy Him all of our lives, forever and ever. And somebody can say, the Lord is already full of glory. How can I add any glory to the Lord? The bucket gets full, and it's full. Well, no, the bucket is to be overflowing. What it is not a matter of us, when all of a sudden you glorify the Lord, then all of a sudden the Lord is glorious. No, it's you reflecting His glory because He deserves it. And it's the same with bless. To bless the Lord is a response to who the Lord is and what the Lord has done. So what it is, what are ministers supposed to do? They're saying, bless the Lord. You're supposed to reflect who the Lord is and what the Lord has done. You're supposed to teach the rest of us to do that. So picture it. The people are leaving Jerusalem, and they're calling upon the ministers. Keep doing your work. We just traveled here. Your work, faithful Levites, has been a response to the Lord's work. We're going to ask you, we call upon you, bless the Lord. Whatever you put your hand to, when you lift up your hands in the sanctuary, bless the Lord. And you lift up your hand. By the way, a little instruction here. I love John Calvin commented on this passage. He said, you know, why lift your hands? Why are the ministers expected to lift their hands? And you'll see that throughout the service. I'll do this. You can say, well, the Bible says so. Bible says do it. I love what Calvin said about this. He says, why do men lift their hands when they pray? Is it not that their hearts may be raised at the same time to God? He knows of our wiring. The Lord made us. He knows every fiber of your being. And so sometimes people go, I don't feel like I'd be a hypocrite. You're supposed to do it. Maybe everything else will follow. Someone once said that Protestants seem to think that God can hear but cannot see what the worshipers are doing. He's just concerned with whether or not you're saying the right thing. I love what Peter Lightheart said. He wrote, Reformed Protestants generally adopt only one physical posture in worship, sitting to listen to the sermon. And therefore, we are trained in only one spiritual posture. We are trained to accept as a matter of course that it is possible to think our way through life, all of life. Rob Rayburn, the pastor of Faith Presbyterian Church in Tacoma, had this to say. We sit for 1,000 things, to eat, to chat, to work, to write notes, to rest. It may be that our bodies cry out for an attitude that will pluck us by the sleeve, as it were, and assist our inner beings in the extremely difficult task of prayer. Ministers, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord. It's instructive. So we'll stand, we'll sit, we'll kneel, we'll lift our hands. Because the Lord made heaven and earth and all of us. Now, because the disciples have been blessed, this is very brief, and we're going to keep it brief, so here we go. Because the disciples have been blessed, they call upon the ministers to keep it up and to respond according to the grace that has been given to them. Act and speak like servants of the Master, like subjects of the King, like ministers of the Lord. Reflect His life, reflect His favor, bless the Lord, reflect back. Reveal, display your calling. So I've got a question for you. Here's a question. What would you think of a servant or an employee or a student who seeks to harm the name, the interests, or the work of the master, the boss, or the teacher? What would you think of such a servant, employee, or student? I've provided for you. And then the student in reply, or the employee in reply, I'm going to chip it away. I'm not going to bear your name. Let's use some other analogies. What about the child, the parent? A child who does not seek to honor the name, the interest, the person, or the work of the parent. Friend. A friend who does not seek to honor the place of the friendship. A player on the team. And recently in the Major League Baseball, one player was released because he went public saying something about his pitcher not being able to hold runners on. And he pretty much said, "Where's the bus? I need to throw." And they just released the guy. He's gone. What would you think of such a servant, employee, student, child, friend, or player? See how beautiful this is? This is a congregation instructing the Levites. Continue to reflect the Lord. Keep up the good work. Go on. The Lord's appointed you do it. The disciples remember the servants of the Lord, those through whom the Lord has blessed them. The disciples remember them as those who serve throughout the night when others are asleep, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. So the ministers, to whom it has been given to bless and pronounce benedictions, what do? Verse 3, they respond most appropriately. By the way, this is why this sermon is called Blessing Back and Forth. Blessing Back and Forth. We've received blessing from the Lord, let's reflect it back. It's back and forth. We've received blessing from the Lord through His servants, let's bless it back and forth. And the servants of the Lord bless one another, back and forth. It's not you, it's not me, it's the Lord. Matter of fact, these people have gone from home to Jerusalem. They're going back and forth with the blessing. Blessing back and forth. So the ministers respond, verse 3, "The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion." You are heading home soon. You will be walking, riding, traveling home under the heavens and upon the earth. The Lord bless you from your time of worship. When you walk out today, there will be a blessing. The Lord who made heaven and earth bless you from Zion. Go, and everything you do under the eye of heaven and upon the earth of our Lord's creation, go and reflect His favor. If not, you're like that rebellious child, that rebellious player, that untrue employee, that failing student who just says, "You know what, I'll take it, but I'm not going to give anything back. I don't." So when the ministers say to the people one word, bless, baruch, berucha, bless you, Lord bless you from Zion, you know what they're saying? Remember Genesis, Psalms, Matthew? Remember that? Beginning, the middle, and the new Genesis of Matthew, the new beginning. May the Lord's word be present. He speaks. May the Lord's provision be granted. Take a look at all the trees of the field that I have given you for food. May the Lord's guidance mark your step. Don't walk, don't stand, don't sit in the counsel of the ungodly. And finally, remember my presence is with you. That's what's being said in a blessing. The Lord blesses His people, and our right response is to reflect this in all that we do. All right, let's end with three simple points. You've heard the word. I've got three simple points for you for the end. The points have been pointed all the way through. Sometimes darkness and difficulty do come to you, to us, to the people of God. Darkness and difficulty. This psalm is an essential reminder to the people of God that the darkness and the difficulties will come, and sometimes they'll reside for a while. Behold, bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who by night in the darkness stand in the house of the Lord. What happens when trials or difficulties fall upon a family? Bless you. See? Bless you. It just came out. A congregation. Our temptation is to go, you know what? The Lord is not speaking anymore. Things are difficult. The Lord is not providing for us through a difficult time. The Lord's guidance is actually not here. Maybe He's saying, wait, rest, stop. It's dark. You can't walk now. Shh. And we always tend to think the Lord is not present. So we're going to face difficulties in marriages and in friendships and in the various spheres that God gives us. This psalm is teaching us that our Lord, who made heaven and earth, who blessed at the beginning, He blesses His image bearers, is still present. So when the darkness comes, it's not a testimony against the Lord, it's a testimony of His faithfulness. Some, during times of discouragement, decide to let out what's in there. I'm discouraged, so I'm going to discourage everybody else. It's rough right now, so I'm going to spew out no blessing from the Lord upon you, any of you. Again, maybe it's time to say, no, behold, I need to open my eyes. I need to behold. I need to take a look. Bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord. During the night, during the day, you need to stand up and lift up your hands. Lord, I don't understand it all, but you do. Oh, yeah, trials come. And trials do go. Next, from Zion, simple point, made it earlier, I want to remind you. From Zion is a reference to the people of God. How does the Lord make Himself known? Through you, through us, through one another, even those that cause you to get bumped into the side. Oh, you know what? That person, you mean they sinned? Yeah, that's pretty much what I'm saying. Okay, got it. Lord bless you from Zion. And what we're saying is, you know what, that can't be done because God can't bless me among His people. What? How does the Lord make His presence known? Among His people. Where's His Spirit? Right here. You. Even you. Last, big picture on the Psalms of Ascent. Final point today. Final point is, here we go. I'm just going to do it one more time. It's the path of blessing. It's the path of blessing. Psalm 120 through 134, what are they? Are they road songs for the trip from the various tribes of Israel as they go to Jerusalem three times a year? Yeah, possible. Are they 15 steps that the Levites, the ministers, the singing ministers would stand upon and sing these 15 songs? Yeah, possibly. Are they steps of discipleship where we ascend to the Lord? Yeah, possibly. Are they steps in the path of discipleship? Sure, likely, all of these things. We have 15 psalms that have just been before us, so let me summarize them all right now. In Psalm 120, there were skirmishes in the neighborhood. Skirmishes in the neighborhood. Psalm 134, there is refreshment from worship and fellowship. Some of you came from skirmishes in the neighborhood, perhaps even from your closest neighbors today. You came in here to the place of worship. Blessing. You know what? I've been reoriented. Honey, what I did was sin. Psalm 120, it all began with a battle, the strife of tongues, even your own tongue, because it was wagging. Psalm 134 ends with a blessing, goes from battle to a blessing because of the provision of the Lord, because the Lord speaks. The Lord uses His speech rightly. Psalm 120, we were dwelling in Meshech and Kedar. You know what was there? Sharp arrows and hot coals. Sharp arrows. I was twanging people from a distance. Precise. My bow was compound too. So I could... Sharp arrows. I was shooting. Sniper fire. Hot coals. Burning up. Psalm 134. The presence of God in and among and through His people who forgive one another. So you know what? I could have said that. I'm not going to. I could have burned them down. I've learned from being in the presence of the Lord. No, His favor's been upon me. I'm not going to do that to them. Peace and perspective. One more. Psalm 120, the very first step on these Psalms of Ascent. You know what it began with? The call to repent. Okay, you live in Meshech, you live in Kedar. You've been shooting arrows from the broom tree. Hot coals from the broom tree. You've been firing off these sharp arrows. Stop it. Repent. Seek the Lord while He may be found. And when you find the Lord, what are you going to do? Psalm 134 is the result of this repentance. Simple point. Psalm 120 begins with a call to repent. What have you been doing? If you did it, admit it, quit it. If you repent, what's the result? Psalm 134 says blessing. Blessing is upon you. The Psalms of Ascent. May the Lord continue to grant us His favor, for we are a blessed people. And may we be well aware of this blessing and reflect it to the Lord, to one another. For this is one of the ways we wage war against our ancient foe. But more than that, we declare the glory of God. Of the King of Glory. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Amen.